The reading is from Acts chapter 2. And it's verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." You may be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We pray that you will bless our pondering of it and reflection on it in this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
When you think of a vessel, I wonder what comes to your mind. When you say vessel, when you think of a ship. Big ship. You know, I know the definition in the dictionary says the vessel is bigger than a rowboat. Oh, I have a vessel in my yard. An old sailboat. We know the vessels contain things. Vessels contain things, and sometimes they can float on things, whether it's the air or whether it's on the ocean or a lake. This is obviously a vessel, and it's used to contain water or other liquid, and it's meant to be poured into other things, cups, whatever it might be. The vessel contains fluid. Think about did you know you have two vessels? Not in your yard, maybe, but you have two vessels in your body. Usually we think of them as arteries or veins, but the vessels in your body carry that oxygen-rich blood throughout your whole body. The vessels support that fluid, and it goes everywhere so that you can live, so that you can have life. I think that's pretty amazing, the way God has made us. He's made us, as one video I saw earlier this week, and I wanted to tell you, was, He made us boys. He made us wonderful. So, vessels. We may not have one in our yard, but we certainly do have them other places. Now, you're probably thinking, don't put that up there. Okay. We'll put it over here.
Vessels are meant to carry things. There was a sound that Pentecost Day. It was a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the house, is what the text says. It filled the house. And then also, they saw what seemed to be like tongues of fire that came to rest on each one of them. Each one of them. Each one. And then all of them were filled, it says, with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. These were not unbelievers that this happened to. These were believers in the Lord. They were people who believed in God and had seen Jesus during his earthly ministry and most likely saw him after he was raised from the dead. Because these are the ones that Jesus said, go and wait. We can see that in Acts chapter 1, he told them not to leave Jerusalem, but wait there. Because Jesus said, for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, the Holy Spirit. And so these believers obeyed Jesus, and they went, they stayed in Jerusalem, and they waited. In Acts 1:14, we learn what they were doing when they were waiting. It says, they prayed. They prayed constantly. We are told many times in the Bible to pray, even without ceasing, to pray constantly, continually. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It causes me to ask the question about myself, you know, how is my prayer life? I mentioned this last Sunday too, you know, how is our prayer life? Prayer is very important to experiencing God in our lives. Even praying a prayer in the morning, like, Lord, I give you this whole day, it's your day. Pray you will work your wonders in through me. Help me to see you throughout the day. Whatever it might be. But prayer is like preparation. Prayer is like preparation. The setting up for more. To be able to see God. How many times have you said, you know, I prayed for this and then it happened. Or I prayed for this and I didn't know what God was going to do with it and then God worked. And that's a wonderful experience when we pray and we see results to prayer. So prayer is kind of like the preparation, the setting up for more. And then there's power. Those praying in that room, they knew that Jesus had been resurrected from the dead and they were told to be there and to wait. He was their Lord and their Savior, and it was those believers who then were filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just at Pentecost, interestingly, but you could see this later on too in Acts. The people who put their faith in Jesus were also filled with the Holy Spirit. We hear it in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, verse 31, and chapter 13, verse 9, and 52, and also chapter 19, verse 6. We hear in Ephesians 5, Paul wrote this, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So, being filled with the Spirit wasn't just a one-time thing, but it happened again later on, and it happened again, and Paul said to go ahead and pray for that. So we've got prayer, which is like a preparation for more to come, and then we have, see here, power that comes from the Holy Spirit, when it's poured out on people. The Apostle Peter quoted the prophet Joel, who said in chapter 2, and afterward I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. God kind of like cleanses the place and then prepares it for him to dwell. We've talked about this in John 15 and other times, but we too who proclaim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior are made holy by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so we are made holy. We're made like a place for God to dwell. And We could say that we are like those vessels which the Lord wants to fill. He wants to fill us, not for the purpose of being filled, but for the purpose of something even greater than that. We are filled so that we can proclaim the deeds of God, the mighty deeds of God. You know, I'm sure when you talk about the Holy Spirit and you talk about people being filled and you talk about tongues and stuff like this, all kinds of questions come up, which we don't have time to discuss at this time. If you ever do want to ask me anything like that, you sure can. But I don't know if everyone filled with the Holy Spirit will speak in tongues or not. Paul doesn't seem to be saying that in 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. And that's not our text for the day, but his emphasis is on the most important and essential gift, though. And you know what that is? The gift of love, right? He says, if you have not love, you're a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. He lists speaking in tongues as last in the list of spiritual gifts in that section there. But I do know that the Holy Spirit gives power to proclaim the wonders of God, however God chooses to do that. So we know that the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us to prepare. He moves us to pray, to be in prayer, so that it sets us up for more to come. Like the power that comes from God, whether it's to live for Him, to be faithful to Him, to love Him, or to love others. All this together is part of that power from God, which enables us to be, He pours out upon us so that we can live for Him. Now, knowing that that's the case, that the Holy Spirit's poured into us with that power so that we can proclaim the gospel. That proclamation is central. The goal was to tell others about the wonders of God. They didn't just get filled and stay there. They didn't just get filled and say, oh, isn't this wonderful? God is so awesome, so wonderful, and stop there. Proclamation happened right away. The goal was to tell others about the wonders of God. Language proved not to be a barrier for Almighty God, who created language, incidentally, right? Any language that exists, God speaks and knows. Way back in Genesis 11, God scattered the people at the Tower of Babel. And if God can do that, then certainly the creator of language could certainly give the ability to speak a new language and understand, to be understood by people of all lands. The end goal was not so that the followers of Jesus could be filled, but so that they could be filled and that they could proclaim. That was God's plan. Because these little hints are given way at the end of the reading we had today, and at the end of chapter 2 of Joel, the purpose, the goal, you know what that was? We know it was about proclaiming the wonders of God. And what's one of those wonders we hear at the end of the lessons today? That those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's about saving people for God. That's what it comes down to, saving people for God. That's one of those wonders of God that's proclaimed. I'm sure they're speaking about the resurrection of Jesus too. I'm sure they were speaking about salvation. But the goal at the end of both lessons today reminds us that it's God's desire that all people would be saved. That's His desire. And we are vessels to be filled up with God's love, His mercy, His grace, whatever, to be poured out into the lives of others so they too may be saved and know of the grace of God, to know Him personally. We ourselves and forgiven believers have been prepared for prayer. God, when He prompts us to pray, we shouldn't run from that. We should instead say, okay, God, help me to take time to pray so that we may receive power from God to have His Spirit poured out on us. I don't know if you're going to go speak in tongues or not, but I do know that He's going to give you what you need to live your life for Him, to be a witness for Him, however God chooses to do that. He wants us to receive power so that we can proclaim the wonders and the power of God, His great love for people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to pray, that you would move us to pray. So, Lord God, that we would receive that power that you pour out upon your believers, the power to live a faithful life, the power to live in obedience to you, the power to proclaim the message and the joy that's found in Jesus. Help us, God, by your Holy Spirit, to do these things. In the name of Jesus, amen.